From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the strange and bizarre. Here's what's happening. That Facebook whistleblower, Frances Haugen, told lawmakers on Capitol Hill today that she believes the social media giant is a national security issue. The former civic project manager for Facebook's misinformation team said the social media network saw active participation of the Iran government doing espionage on other state actors. Facebook lashed back at her, saying she was hardly involved in anything. We'll see. You might remember more than a year ago, I started talking about China and Taiwan, saying that you got to watch that. Well, Taiwan is committed to defending its democracy against an increasingly aggressive China. The island's president has vowed warning of catastrophic consequences for the region should it fall. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com with us. John, something's happening. China's flying these sorties, these air flights all over the place.
Well, 145 flights, actually. These are a multitude of different warplanes. But, George, this is what Beijing does, okay? This is a direct consequence of the U.S. prior to the U.N. General Assembly cutting a nuclear submarine deal with Australia, but more importantly than that, creating a pact basically to patrol the Pacific Rim with a nuclear armed, at least a nuclear submarine armed Australia. Now, in addition to that, I mean, really, the U.S. has caught a lot of flack from France. You know, they recalled our ambassadors, at least temporarily. I mean, it humiliated Macron. But the thing with Beijing, and I think most people don't get this about them, is that they are doing everything they can do right now to divert the attention away from the inevitable blame for the novel the deadly novel coronavirus.
Yep, exactly.
There are mounting, overwhelming evidence right now, and Beijing is doing everything it can to stop this. Intimidation, pulling funding, threatening scientists all over the planet, obviously at the World Health Organization, to cover this up. So the saber-rattling that's going on with Beijing is not just connected with the sub-deal, although that's something that they're trying to send a very loud message to Biden that he cannot defend Taiwan. Not only can he not defend Taiwan, you know that originally we had a mutual defense treaty with Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 6 years after the Maoist revolution. Ike signed that in 1955. But we also know that Jimmy Carter signed committed the U.S. to the Taiwan Relations Act. And that Taiwan Relations Act reflected the fact that China, in order for U.S. corporations to basically manufacture products like Walmart, and we all know all of the different manufacturers that use China, at slave wages, the Taiwan Relations Act committed the U.S. to never recognizing the Republic of China, that's free China. These are nationalists that escaped the Maoist revolution and torture and mass murder that went on during the Maoist revolution to escape to the island of Formosa. That Jimmy Carter canceled the mutual defense treaty, saying that the U.S. will no longer defend Taiwan. Now, you hear the State Department and the Pentagon saying that, oh, we've got Taiwan's back. No, we do not in this country any longer. And it's been since 1979. So I would say this, there is no imminent prospect of any kind of a war or invasion that China would take in Taiwan. But they're sending a very loud message to Biden and to the rest of the world. Do not blame us for the 280 million cases of coronavirus and the 4.8 million deaths around the planet. That's what's happening.
Let's see how it all unfolds, John. John's website, onlinecolumnist.com. Southwest Airlines has become the latest U.S. airline to require its employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Republicans in Congress have introduced legislation aimed at stopping a proposal from the Biden administration that would force banks to report every customer transaction of $600 or more to the Internal Revenue Service. Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, Republican, introduced Protecting Financial Privacy Act of 2021 last week, which would prohibit any federal agency from requiring financial institutions to report on the financial transactions of their customers. Charles Kopp is with us, investment advisor. $600 or more? That's crazy, Charles.
Oh, George, this is a terrible idea, and here we go. The government's looking for unreported income, and this would be mostly what? Self-employed people, partnerships, S-corporations, things like that. But this is little people, $600.
What is that, $120 in tax?
Well, I mean, it's $600 deposit or withdraws in a calendar year. Imagine that. And this includes PayPal, by the way, financial institutions, even PayPal. They have to be reported on a 1099 INT for interest, which they already do. But currently, transactions of 10,000 or more are reported, as people probably know. And there's talk about raising that up. But I don't think it's going to go anywhere. This is part of the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. And they want to give about $80 billion to the IRS for compliance and more audits and just to really harass people, just, you know, go after them.
What's happening to our country, Chuck? I mean, look, they're taking away rights. They're trying to mandate vaccines for people who don't want them. They want to get into your bank accounts. What's happening to our liberties?
Well, it's in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins, said Benjamin Franklin. I mean, they're violating the Fourth Amendment here, the Bill of Rights, our constitutional rights. If you don't know the law, I mean, they're trying to collect $500-700 billion in 10 years. I mean, what kind of shape we're going to be, you know, in 10 years? And this is being opposed. So this is being opposed by some congressmen. You mentioned the banking lobby, 41 industry groups, but a terrible invasion of our financial affairs. Really, it's about class warfare and politics of greed and envy, which the left is always trying to do. Right now, consider the top 1% in the U.S. pay 40% of all tax, and the top 10% pay 70%, and 30% or more pay no income tax at all. That's the fact, you know, and they're going after people. This is really just socialism or Marxism. As I note in my book, the second plank of the Communist Manifesto calls for a heavy, progressive, graduated income tax. And the fifth plank calls for centralization of credit with a national bank and monopoly. We adopted both of these things in 1913, right?
You called that right. Chuck's book, by the way, is called America's Financial Reckoning Day. Listen to this story. An electrical implant that sits in the skull and is wired to the brain can detect and treat severe depression, according to U.S. scientists, after promising results with a patient. Her name is Sarah, 36 years old, had the device fitted more than a year ago, and says it has turned her life around. The matchbox-sized pack in her head is always on, but only delivers an impulse when it senses she might need it. The experimental study is described in Nature Medicine Journal. That's interesting. In a moment, Pam Ostley back with us on Coast to Coast. It's been a while. We're going to talk about electronic magnetic energies and auras next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Pamela Ostley back with us, author, consultant, radio show host, professional psychic intuitive, and aura expert. Pam is the founder of the AuraColors.com, a site designed to help you create success, joy, fulfillment in every area of your life. She has developed LoveColors.com as well, a site designed to help you find love and friendships by matching you with people who have compatible aura colors. Pam, welcome to the program.
George, great to speak with you again.
It's been a while. How have you been?
Really well. How about you?
All is well. Doing a lot of traveling still. COVID is slowing down in some of the regions we're going into. And we just had a sold-out show in Everett, Washington last weekend, and that was fun.
Wow, good for you. I love that. You know, you violets are supposed to go travel, you know, so it's okay.
That's right. And people just are a little anxious. They want to start getting out, don't they?
Well, we got to keep a balance, but it's okay. It's all going to shift. It's all shifting. It's going to be okay.
All righty. The electromagnetic field, is that the same as auras?
Yes. Yes. Well, we're made of energy, right?
Equals
MC squared. You know, physicists know that we're made of energy, so it makes sense that we radiate energy. We're broadcasting who we are all the time. So, yep, we have an electromagnetic energy field that radiates off of us.
These auras that we all have, does everybody show an aura? Can you feel that?
Yeah. Matter of fact, George, I love that you asked that because we've all felt it. You know, a lot of people see them. I've seen a lot of kids that see them. But we've all felt them. That's why you can meet somebody for the first time and feel really comfortable around them, and other people you just want to keep your distance from. There's something about their vibe or their energy that you're not comfortable with. So that's their aura.
Now, when you meet somebody who has that vibrant energy, can you assume they've got a strong electromagnetic field?
Yes. Yes, some people have, well, especially you violets. I see different aura colors, right? You violets typically have really big auras, George, because violets are here to reach the masses. You guys are performers and speakers and teachers and therapists. You have big auras. Other people, they contract their aura. They're kind of shy or introverted or, you know, keep to themselves, so their auras are more condensed.
Well, I got to tell you, Edgar Cayce used to read auras, too. Do you remember that story that he was getting onto an elevator?
Yes.
And he looked at three or four people in the elevator and could not read their auras, which was a first for him. So he backed out. He didn't go in, and the elevator plunged, and they all died.
Yep. Yep. Oh, I've had that experience, George, when I was on a plane, and I couldn't see anyone's aura, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I've got to get off this plane.
Jeez.
And they delayed it and announced that they were having technical issues or mechanical issues. We sat there for almost an hour, and then I saw everyone's aura come back, and I went,
thank God.
We're okay. And I went skydiving once, and all these guys on the plane found out what I did, and before they jumped out of the plane, every single one of them said, Pam, do I have an aura? It was really funny. It's like, yeah, you're okay, and they survived.
What would have happened to the one who didn't have an aura for some reason?
I would have told him not to get off the plane.
Don't jump.
Not to jump, because anytime I see somebody without an aura, they're either really sick. I had a client come to me once in Georgia, could not see her aura at all, but she had terminal cancer, and she knew it. So she was gone within a few days. And I also had a client that she had no aura, and when I tuned into her, I discovered she was suicidal. So when we talked about it, found out why she was suicidal, and it had to do with her husband committing suicide, and she blamed herself when she found out what the truth was. Her aura came back to life, and she didn't commit suicide.
That's dramatic. How'd you get involved in all of this?
Oh, just lucky, I guess. No. George, I was in the rock and roll business. I was working with rock and roll musicians and promoting big concerts here in California, right? And I went to hear a psychic speak from England. And I walked into the room to hear him speak, and he went, you, up here, you know how to do this work. And I went, what? Excuse me? So he pulled me up in front of the group that night, and he said, I want you to tell people what you're seeing about them psychically. And I was shocked to see that I actually knew things about people I'd never met before. For example, one woman over to my right, George, this is the first time it happened, I saw the spirit of a little girl standing next to her. I'd never experienced that before in my life. So I knew she was pregnant. She didn't even know she was pregnant. So she went to the doctor, found out she was pregnant. She had a little girl. A year after I started doing psychic or clairvoyant, whatever old word you want to put to it, expanded consciousness, I met a woman who could see auras. She started describing what she was seeing around people, what that meant to her. And I realized it was matching what I was picking up psychically around people. So I went, oh, that's a blue. Oh, that's a green. I get it. So after learning what that meant, within a year, I developed the ability to be able to see them, sense them, tune into them psychically as well as physically myself. That's kind of how I got into it.
Does every aura throw off a different color?
I want you to know that a lot of people I've met see the same aura colors that I do. A lot of people see different colors. It doesn't mean that somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Just like we taste food differently,
sure.
I honestly believe we have a different experience of the energy field, the aura. So what I see are lots of different colored bands out from the people. They radiate out. And the one or two colors of bands closest to the body show me, they reveal a person's life purpose, their personality, careers they're going to be happiest with, relationship styles, potential health issues, how they are with money. It's revealed in the one or two bands that are closest to the body. The outer bands in the aura change all the time. depending on what's going on with the person at the time. So, for example, if somebody's really angry, a lot of red shows up in their outer bands. Once they're not angry anymore, that red goes away. That's different than a red life color, which is their main band, and that's a different personality type.
So different colors will determine different things.
It reveals. It doesn't run your life. It reveals what you've chosen to experience and who you've chosen to be in this lifetime. For example, your violet yellow. That shows me who you are, what you wanted to experience in this lifetime, your personality, your purpose, your goals, what's fulfilling for you. Those colors don't typically change in a lifetime. It's kind of like your astrology, your numerology, your iridology. They're just breadcrumbs you left behind in case you got to the planet and went, what am I doing here? What? And so you can go back and look at all those things and go, oh, yeah, that is me. That is who I am. That's my personality. It's kind of like the Myers-Briggs test, too.
Well, Pam, what if you're ill? What does the aura show if you're sick, ill, you've got a disease, horribly cancer? What does it show?
Yeah, it shows different layers of or different levels of faded. If somebody's really ill, their aura can be very faded. If they're on death's doorstep, it, like I said, it can show, like, no aura. If somebody's really ill, it's faded, it's light. And as they start getting healthy again, their aura comes back to full energy. Well, it's kind of like a dim light bulb, you know, that's burning out versus a bright, brand-new aura. A light bulb that's got vibrant light to it. It's the same with the aura.
So when you die, can I assume you have no aura at all?
No, because we're still energy. We're still energy. So,
it's got to be dull.
If you don't have an aura over there?
If you're dead, it's got to be a dull aura.
No, because you're still alive. It's just you can change colors over there. You're still emitting light. People are kind of like, best way I can describe it in lay terms is we're light bodies over there.
But so it can't be as strong as a person who's alive.
But they're still alive, George. That's the thing. I know that sounds weird, but over here, we're physical bodies, quote-unquote, even though it's all energy.
Right.
There's nothing physical to matter. We're still emanating energy. When we're on the other side, it's like it just, oh, man, at some point, we got to get into parallel universes.
We'll get into that. We got a lot to cover with you.
Another realm. They're just in a different frequency, but they're still emitting energy. They're still emitting light. So they've got an aura still.
Well, let's go back then to the Edgar Cayce event.
Yeah.
When he looked at the elevator and did not see an aura on these people who died eventually.
Yeah.
Where was their aura?
I guess I can explain it this way. Their life force was not in their body anymore. Their life force was not there. It was going to leave their physical bodies. But then when you get to the other side, your essence, your vibration, your frequency, your essence, your light energy is still there. It's
so
just not
it,
in
so,
the body
so,
anymore,
all right.
So it disappears off the body.
So technically, you lose an aura when he was looking at them. But when they died, if he looked at them again, would they have shown something?
Yes. Yeah, because I see people on the other side all the time. I know it sounds weird. I'm not kooky. I'm not weird. It's an energy.
Nah, not you.
They're just in another frequency. It's just like radio waves, right? I can still see auras around people, but they're changed. Could be white light. It could be different colors. But, yeah, it's just a different form. It's a frequency.
Take us through auracolors.com. What do people see when they get to that website?
Well, first of all, if people want to know what their aura colors are, I have a free quiz. People can go there and take the little quiz,
oh, cool.
Find out what their aura colors are. So if they answer honestly, George, you know, I have the same issue. I've got business people calling me up and going, you know, we give out this Myers-Briggs test, and if people answer honestly, we know their personality. If they answer based on who they think they're supposed to be or who they've been trained to be, they don't get accurate answers. It's the same thing with the aura color quiz. If you answer who you really are, not what you think you're supposed to be, then you're going to come up with your aura colors. And then I have free videos on there so people can watch about, you know, what their aura colors mean. I've got written material. I've got books. I've got every resource I could come up with to help people understand what their aura colors reveal about them, not to limit them, because I know you yellows don't like being told what to do. You're nice guys and you're pleasers, but ultimately yellows don't like being told what to do. So it's not to box somebody in. It's to validate who they are inside so they can live, sorry to Cyndi Lauper here, but so they can live their true colors and be happy and fulfilled, not trying to fit into a box that's not them.
All right, Pam, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about parallel universes and other strange things that you've been working on. Pam's websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. They're auracolors.com, lovecolors.com. And we'll take calls with her next hour here on Coast to Coast. Here's just a shout-out, by the way, to Chris Kerber, the St. Louis Blues hockey announcer, listening to Coast to Coast as he drives through the gateway to the West. So thanks, Chris. I hope all is well with you, and go Blues. We will take calls next hour with Pam Osley. Lots more to talk with her about. We just talked about auras. We're going to get into parallel universes in just a moment. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Pam Osley. Her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Parallel universes, what are your thoughts on those?
Well, you know what, George? I've been studying quantum physics for years now, and one of the real things that they have evidence of is that parallel universes are real. So anytime we've discovered something new like aerodynamics and parallel universe, that means we have the ability to have more freedom. So to put it in lay terms so people understand what these are, I use the analogy of radio stations. Right now in the room that you're in, there's at least 10 radio stations broadcasting around you, right? But you don't know that they exist because you're not tuned into them. So if you go to your tuner and turn on to 99.9, you're going to hear the music, the talk, the program that's on that station, on that frequency, and so that becomes your reality. Now, if you change over to 107, now all of a sudden that station and that program becomes your reality and no longer 99. But 99 is still around you, like a parallel universe in another frequency, but you're not aware of it because you're not tuned into it. So they're showing that parallel universes are a real thing, multiverse, whatever you want to call it. So the cool thing about that is that we have free will, that there's not just one reality, just like we discovered there wasn't just one continent, there wasn't one solar system, there wasn't one planet. They've discovered now that there's not just one universe. And so it's a very powerful tool to change our realities. Just like you can change the station on your TV or your radio station, you can actually change the parallel universe that you're in by changing your frequency, which you do by changing your thoughts and your emotions.
Can people then migrate between these parallel universes, and how do they do that?
Yes, we do it all the time, but we don't realize that. What physicists are saying is every time we make a decision, if we go down one street instead of another, this sounds so bizarre, George. It sounds like science fiction. But remember, a lot of things that used to sound like science fiction are now science facts.
That's
like
true.
Cell phones and travel and going to the moon and all that.
Flat screens.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, it used to be science fiction. It's now science fact. So we change parallel universes all the time, but we're not aware of it because we've been trained to think there's only one reality. But it's as there can be something as basic as you decided to wear blue jeans today and instead of white pants, but there's another you that went off and is having a whole life wearing white pants. Now, some of them are so subtle we can't tell, although when we have a deja vu, that's theorizing that we're intersecting with another one of our parallel universes, right? But it can
exactly.
be dramatic. They're actually saying that in one universe, Bay of Pigs didn't end well and the world destroyed itself. In another universe, Germany won the war and we're all speaking German now. So they can be dramatic. There's one you that married somebody from high school. There's another you that never got married at all. There's another you that lives in another place. Every time you make a decision, there's a real you that splits off and is having a whole other life. That's how bizarre this is. But it gives us a lot of freedom. I believe that's how people go into spontaneous remission with cancer. And when people ask me, well, you tell me if you want to get into where the world is headed, right, where humanity's headed, because I'm going to talk to you about parallel universes, and you're going to end up in the one that you believe in.
Is it conceivable that, let's say, George of this universe
yes.
goes into a parallel universe, I'm replaced by another George here, and nobody knows that, not
yeah.
even me?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, look, we have it in the movies. We've got sliding doors, Back to the Future, Somewhere in Time, Frequency, the movie Yesterday. We're even putting it in our movies. So, yes, you're in multiple universes simultaneously. You're only just tuned into one. And I've talked to a lot of people that have had near-death experiences, and George, it's so cool. Every single one of them said when they were out of their bodies, when they were in on the other side, another frequency, they saw all their other lives happening simultaneously. So that even means there's a George in the 16th century that exists right now. There's a George in the 25th century that exists right now. That's how bizarre this is, but that's parallel universes.
Can we get lost in other universes and not get back?
Well, you exist in all of them simultaneously, so I don't know where you're going back to. Okay, there's already a you that exists in this one. All you have to do is align with this one, focus your attention, your beliefs, your emotions in this one, and you get back. Can you pretend that you're stuck in another one that you're not happy with? Yes, we do that all the time. There's people that are like, I hate my life, and I'm poor, and I'm struggling, and I can't pay my bills. They're stuck in that universe. There's a version of them that is prosperous and healthy and wealthy. That's a real thing. They really exist. They just don't know that, so they get stuck in the one that they think that's the only reality.
How do they find the good one?
They have, first of all, the biggest thing is, and I've used this, George, I have stories of how I've dramatically changed my life by knowing this is real. So the way that they find the other one, and we use this in like law of attraction and the power of beliefs and all that stuff, right? Visualization. So first of all, they have to believe that another universe is real, not just fantasy, not just make-believe, not just wishful thinking. They need to know that parallel universes are real. Can you imagine that if, you know, somebody came back and said, hey, the Earth is round, and people go, nuh-uh, you're not tricking me, I'm not falling off it. You know,
yeah,
it took
exactly.
a while for people.
And it's only 6,000 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So they have to believe that other universes are real, and then they need to align with it by using the power of their thoughts, their imagination. Remember how Einstein said imagination is more powerful than knowledge? Because what we think we know can limit us. So they use their power of visualization, imagination, your thoughts, your beliefs, and your emotions. That's what aligns you. You have to believe it's real, and then you align with it. Did you ever see the movie Somewhere in Time?
Well, I love that movie.
Yeah, remember how he just like really focused and believed he was in that era, and then he found himself there?
And then he saw the penny, and it shattered his whole belief.
So do you see how our films, we've been trying to show ourselves, these are real?
Yep.
But people still think they're fantasy or fiction or make-believe, and they're not.
I miss him. He was a good actor, too.
I know.
Died tragically.
Well, he still exists. He's just in another frequency.
Pam Ossley with us. Website's all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. A couple of her books include Infinite You, Life Colors as well. And I tell you what, next hour we're going to take general phone calls with her, but she will do sort of an aura reading over the phone. What we will need, your name, obviously, which I'll pass on to her, your eye color and your hair color. Now, why do you need that?
It helps me tune into them. It's like adjusting a radio dial so I can match their frequency.
Okay.
It gives me a visual of them. It's how I tune into someone. I find them that way.
Do you want the hair color as it was or as it is?
Well, you know what? Both is helpful. If somebody has gray hair and it used to be dark brown, I would like to know that. If they're really brown hair and they're bleaching it blonde, that's helpful for me to know, too.
Interesting, too. And the eye color, that's very important, isn't it?
Yeah, you know how they say the eyes are the windows to the soul?
That's true.
It's really true.
Advanced consciousness, what does that mean to you?
Expanded consciousness, George. We are so capable of doing, and it's like we have superpowers. Again, I know that sounds weird, but I think that's why we like stories about magic and superheroes and all that bit. We have way more abilities than we've been trained to believe, and I know that for sure because, one, I have them. I do them. I experience them, and I am not the only person on the planet that does that. You know, psychic abilities, remote viewing, bending spoons, seeing auras, telepathy, mediumship. I have all those abilities, and because I have them, I want to know, I want to understand that with quantum physics, why that shows that's real. And if I have them and other people on this planet have them, that means every human has the same ability, the capability. It's just some people can be better at it than others, just like some people are better athletes than others or musicians or artists. It's just what you focus on, believe in, and I've just developed those abilities. So expanded consciousness or advanced consciousness. And honestly, George, I swear to you, I believe that's where the consciousness is going. That's where humanity is going.
Pam, you mentioned deja vu.
And yeah.
Some psychiatrists will say there are mini seizures. I don't think they are. I think it's a time warp or something, as you talked about.
That's exactly it. You've intersected with a future you or a past you or another version of you. I've had long conversations with a very famous quantum physicist whose real forte is parallel universes, and he talked about that. And so I agree with you. I believe it's us intersecting with other ones of ourselves.
So what do you see about the future for all of us?
Well, that's what I'm going to say again. The future is totally, there's not one reality, George. There are parallel universes, and your future, you're going to end up in the one that you get attached to, that you believe is real. So, you know, we're all adventurous beings. We love having emotions. We love having feelings. So the people that go, oh, the world is going to be destroyed, they're going to end up in that universe. They'll experience that one. The rest, you know how they said the meek shall inherit the earth? Meek, the original version of that was peace lovers. Okay?
Yeah.
So the people that are optimistic, and I'm very optimistic, I see a new renaissance coming. That's what I'm going to experience. So basically, the future of humanity is parallel universes, and you're going to end up experiencing the one you believe in. And boy, George, you cannot argue with people. It's like, no, there's only one, and this is what's happening, and we're going there. And I never try to take that away from people. I go, man, if you're passionate about it, go for it, and then go have that experience. But that's not the one I'm in.
You've talked to people who have crossed over, haven't you?
Yes.
What's that like?
You know, it's amazing, George. They've got higher consciousness, and here's the deal. Everybody on the other side has free will to experience whatever they want. On the other side, they're just not limited to the physical body the way we are, so they don't have to worry about paying their bills and working for a living and being slaves and, you know, taking care of their body. They have free will to still have whatever experiences they want to believe in. I've talked to people on the other side that are deeply passionate about politics, so they're on the other side trying to help politicians. I've tongued into a lot of young people that have OD'd and, you know, basically took their lives accidentally, and now they're on the other side trying to help kids on this side not commit suicide, not get into drugs. So there are people that are helpers, there are people that just want to travel. I've seen clients over there that are over there learning. They're hanging out with, like, scholars and Einstein and John Lennon because they love learning from those people. So they have free will over there just like we have here.
When people pass over, mm-hmm. do they witness what could be hell if there have been evil people?
Okay, so only if they believe in that and it's only temporary. George, and again, I never try to take away someone's beliefs because they have a right to their own beliefs, their own experiences. We're all here doing different things here for a different reason. In my experience, there is no such thing as hell. There's no such thing as that. That would say that God's not everywhere.
What happens to evil? Does it get? It can't get rewarded.
Oh, it's no such thing, sweetie. There's no such thing. We believe in it now, so we keep it.
Ted Bundy, serial killer?
Yeah, he's on the other side being shown. Let me say it this way. I have heard from people that have crossed over that when they cross over, immediately they have a life review and they experience firsthand everything they caused another person to feel.
That's like punishment.
Yeah, it is. They get to review it themselves. They get to experience emotionally everything they put people through, good and bad. So that's their own form of hell, but they don't stay there. They get rescued. They get guided on the other side. Look, this is why you made those decisions. You were in fear. You were in pain. You were in anger. There's no judgment on the other side, George, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but I've talked to so many people on the other side that go, no, it's all love. It's all infinite, unconditional love over there, and people can get stuck in their beliefs. Like if people believe there's a hell and they're going to go there, they will experience that on the other side for a while, but they're always rescued. They're never left that way.
That's pretty dramatic.
And, it's very interesting.
It is.
George, life is so fascinating. It's so much bigger and so much more expansive than we think it is. It's very exciting, actually.
Now, when the evil person passes over, because there is evil in this life.
I'm going to call it fear and love. Okay, we do bad things based on fear and pain. It's fear. And so when they cross over, they can hold on to that fear for a while. But most people are met over there by very loving beings and souls to help them get over the fear, to help them release the fear, and they get to see what they've done. We can call it evil, and again, I'm never going to argue with somebody and be like, no, there's bad, there's evil, there's wrong, and I go, okay, go for it. But my experience of talking to people on the other side, it doesn't exist. People are released from it from the other side. They get to see why they experience that fear-based anger, hostility, corruption, lashing out. They get to see why they did that in this lifetime, but they're never, it's not an eternal thing where they're held hostage and punished.
What if they don't learn?
Well, what you're making, you, over you, here, you know? You make, they don't learn, pardon?
You make the assumption that they will, you know, listen to what they did and change. What if they don't change?
They don't. A lot of people don't. They're very stuck in it. Some people over there, I've been told, I've experienced them, they're very slow learners, okay? So they've got a lot of guides over there lovingly talking to them, teaching them, and they're very patient. And some people are slow learners. Some people, when they cross over, they get instant awakening, instant awareness of what's going on. So again, every soul is different. We have our own beingness, our own personalities, our own soulness to us. Some people, because they've got free beliefs and they're happy and they're not fear-based, they're instantly free. People that are fear-based or they're very stuck in their beliefs. I have to tell you something interesting, George. I was awakened one night because somebody from the other side sat on the edge of my bed. I thought it was my cat. I woke up. There was no cat there. And I looked, and this is mind-blowing. It was this man who had just crossed over, who lived down the street. I'd never met him because I had just moved into the neighborhood.
You could see him, though.
Yeah, he had crossed over, but he didn't know he'd crossed over. And he sat on my bed, and he was so upset. He was trying to talk to his son, and his son did not listen to him. He goes, why isn't my son talking to me? He's not listening to me. Well, the son didn't know that the soul had crossed over, and so he didn't know. And so I went, look, you can't wake me up at 3 a.m. That's unacceptable. You have to go, you know, go talk to somebody on the other side. So this man didn't really know he was dead. He was a slow learner. Get this, George. I found out the next day. I went for a walk in the neighborhood, and they were cleaning out this man's house. They said, yeah, this man just died. And it's John Travolta's father.
No.
It was John Travolta's father. And I went, oh, my gosh. Yeah, but that's who sat on the edge of my bed. I just had to let him know, look, go talk to people on the other side. They'll help you.
All right, we're going to take calls when we come back with Pam Ostley, chat with her a little bit more as well. But she needs your name. We'll take there and supply that to her. Your eye color and your hair color. And she's going to tell you a little bit about you and your aura when we come back on Coast to Coast AM.